We are all important. Everybody is important, and it's based on their swabhava, not based on birth. So we'll go to Vaishya and Shudra. So Krishna has put them together. Verse number 44. Krishi Gaurakshya Vanijyam. Vaishya Karma Swabhavajam. Paricharyatmakam karma. Shudrasyapi swabhavajam. So, Krishi. Krishi is farming. And Gaurakshya is protecting the cows, that is dairy farming. So, one is regular farming and Gaurakshya is dairy, keeping dairy cattle. And Vanijyam is business, finance. Vaishya karma, so these are the activities of Vaishyas, Swabhavajam, based on their Swabhava. So Krishi Gaurakshya Vanijyam, Vaishya karma, Swabhavajam. Paricharyatmakam karma, Paricharya means service. So what is the karma? Shudrasyapi Swabhavajam, the job of Shudras is service. So, as we have talked about, people who are traders, they are generally farmers, they have dairy farms, you know, so the right kind of person. So, he should have the right swabhava to do business, you know, to have the business, to have farms. So, like they say that there was a kshatriya, person with kshatriya tendencies, and he went into dairy farming. And you know what happened? He was an utter failure. So if a wrong person goes into the wrong profession, he is a failure. So a farmer or a businessman or a trader should know business, should know finance. You know, how the money is made, how much to borrow, what interest to pay, and where to utilize the money properly so that the company may do well. You know, when you're building a factory, keeping an eye on the costs, you know, not letting the cost go out of hand, not making sure the business stays competitive, you know, new things are coming. So constantly being on his toes and constantly where to buy things, where to sell, where to invest. So the ability to invest money and put it in the right place, in the right use, with the right understanding, and of course using the help of, you know, using the business journals and using advice from other financial experts and all that. So a person who is able to do that and run the company well, run the business well, run the farm well, and grow the business is a Vaishya. And again, it is not on based on birth. As we talked about that tomato farmer in the beginning, he started, you know, the tomato dealer, he started with $10 and where he went. So he went for a job as a janitor. So he went for a Shudra's job, what we call a Shudra. It does not mean inferior, that was his job. But where did he rise? So if he has the right attitude, the right understanding, he can be a success in business. And paricharyatmakam karma shudrasyapi swabhavajam. So Shudra's job is, as we mentioned, service. The job is not to think. You know, he doesn't decide, oh, you know, how much should the factory produce this year? No, he's in the assembly line. When the thing comes, he assembles, sends it out. That is his job. In the farm, he's cutting, you know, he's assigned, okay, you cut the crop or you pick up the fruit or you water it or you fertilize or whatever. He just blindly, mechanically does it. He doesn't decide what will be produced this year by this farm, how much, what is the price of almonds, what is the price of grapes. He has nothing to do with that. All he says, give me instructions and I work, and at the end of the week, I should get my wages. But again, here the attitude is very important. If he just is working, in fact, anybody who is working for wages is a Shudra. That's what Swamiji says. You may be a top executive, but if your only job is what I will get at the end of the week or the end of the month or the end of the year, you are a Shudra. You are not any better. If you call yourself a leader, you should do these things, charity, you know, courage. You should have the ability to help others. Same thing in a business or a finance. If you're only interested in your company doing well and stamping other companies and putting them down, and you're doing it for selfish reasons, you're a Shudra. The idea should be that I should grow and I should encourage others to grow. Of course, there is competition and all, but using right means, working hard, working honestly, sincerely. But if you are going to work dishonestly and your only goal is all I care is how much I get paid, then you are a Shudra. And the next verse will talk about with what attitude one should work in the world. And the job doesn't matter, the position doesn't matter. If you are qualified for a janitor, but if you clean the bathrooms well, and when the customers come next morning and the place is spotless, you are good. So that is what it says. Shudra karma swabhavajam. Shudra syapi swabhavajam. The example they give is of Ayodhya. Ayodhya, you know, was Raja Dashrath, who was Ram's father. And he was ruling Ayodhya, very enlightened, very bright, very wonderful king, very cared deeply about his subjects, took care of all of them. Anybody had any problem, that's another quality of a great leader, that anybody has a problem and comes to him, he's ready to solve it. Same thing a CEO in a company, if somebody is having problems, if the workers are complaining, the ability to understand their problems and the ability to solve them. So he was a very enlightened leader, king. And one of the specialties in his kingdom was that the Brahmanas made the policies. The Brahmanas, the wise people, Brahmana again, not by caste or not by birth, but the wise people who were the intellectuals made the policies. And even though he was a king, he also followed the instructions from the Brahmanas. That's why when Vishwamitra or Vasishtha Rishi and all these Rishis came, he listened to their advice. He followed the advice of the wise people. He didn't say, I'm the king, so I decide what happens. No, as a king, I am required to follow because they will give me the right advice. What is moral? What is immoral? Otherwise, as a king or as a leader, sometimes the lines get blurred. What is moral? What is immoral? What is ethical? What is unethical? We sometimes forget. But he said, no matter I'm a king, but I have to follow. So in his kingdom, the king had to follow the rishis, the mahatmas, the scholars, the wise people. Then the traders could not do business as they wanted. The policies were laid down by the king and by the leaders and the right policy. And so the business also had to be done honestly. Business, yes, you need to make money, but it should not be a dishonest business. So the policies that were started by the rishis, then the laws were made by the king and the leaders, the traders, the vaishyas had to follow them. And then, of course, the workers had to obviously listen to the traders, listen to the leaders. So when that kind of hierarchy is there, when the right advice is there, but nowadays what we find is some business person becoming the president, of the country. And all over the world we find, why is there so much corruption? So much corruption. I was reading about this Zuma. He's a president of South Africa. He has made so much money. All his children are multimillionaires. They're all staying in England in posh houses and they have so much money. Why? Because one particular family made $550 million with his help. And how did they plunder the country? They looted the country. So between him and this family, they have looted the whole country. All the money has gone out. Why? Because he's not a leader. He's a Vaishya. He's a wrong person. He's a businessman who is leading the country. And that is what's happening in India also. Why is there so much corruption? Fortunately, now we have a wise leader. But all these years from 1947, there was so much corruption, so much dishonesty. And it is all over in the developing. You read about Brazil on the Olympics, how much money was stolen, how much money was wasted. So that is what happens when the wrong or a businessman becomes a priest of a temple. See, that's another bad thing. Sometimes we find the priests in the temple are more interested, whether it's the temple or the church or anywhere or a mosque. He's more interested in how much money is coming in. Let me see how much is in the hundi. This, your job as a priest is to serve the Lord and bring people to the Lord. Money is not your criteria. But if you are looking at how much money my church is making, and then I can grow my church and become, and then that is all. I mean, growing the church, if people are coming, that is good. But if you want more money to make your church more powerful, and that's what happened in Rome also, the Pope, and now, of course, it's not like that, but in the Middle Ages, the popes were rulers, absolute rulers. They had so much money, so much power, and they were waging wars and fighting against other countries. The Pope was the ruler of Italy. The Pope is supposed to be a spiritual head. He's not supposed to be a ruler. So that when the differences between the castes get blurred, and that's what is the problem. So that is why Ayodhya was called Ayodhya. Ayodhya means cannot be conquered, cannot be fought against. Ayodhya was such a powerful kingdom that none of the surrounding kingdoms would dare to attack him. Why? Because the right things were practiced. So all the people were in favor of the Raja. They said, if the kingdom is attacked, we are all ready to fight. So that is the karmas of Vaishyas and Shudras.
If Trump were to become president, they were in trouble.
I didn't say that.
No, because he's a Vaishya.
Yeah, but anyway, that's we don't want to get into political because then people might start fighting here. We might have a war.
So the way you're labeling, you're saying Vaishyas and Sudras are not ethical?
No, no, it's not that. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that a person with a business attitude should run a business, should not be running a country, or should not be running a temple. A person who's running a temple should do it with the attitude of serving the Lord. A person who's running the country should do it with the attitude of serving the people. But if a businessman's goal is to make money, and if he becomes the king, and if he has that attitude, I'm not saying that all businessmen are corrupt. I'm not saying that. Definitely not. There are good and bad leaders. There are good and bad businessmen. There are good and bad priests. There are good and bad workers. Good and bad are there in everywhere, but the point is that what with what attitude? What should be the attitude of a leader? What should be the attitude of a priest? And what should be the attitude of a trader? That's what.
So you're saying a king shouldn't think like a Vaishya Sudra.
Yes.
Because when you're in that level, you can only think of, because you're hand to mouth, so you can only think of feeding yourself and your family. You can't think of charity or anything else for that matter.
No, well, the king obviously has a lot of money because all the taxes and everything come to him. So, but then he should not keep all the money for himself. If you look at the life of King Janaka, King Dashrath, you look at their life, they shared with people whatever wealth they had. and then whole Janaka's whole attitude was that the country should be spiritually prosperous. So all saints and wise people and scholars were encouraged in his court. And they were invited to stay there, and discussions used to happen in his court, not only about how to run the country, but how to make the people spiritually better.
So they can't think at that level. They're
yes.
They're not supposed to think at a Vaishya and Sudra level.
Right, right. They have to think of what is good for the people, right, not what is good for me alone. While a businessman also should not only think about me, but what is good for my employees, because ultimately that is what is good for business. If my employee in your office, if your secretaries are happy, then they will work harder and bring more patients and so on. So if you keep your employees happy, encourage them, then your business will also grow. But if a businessman is only thinking about himself, then that is the problem. Yes. And same way, a worker, his job is to do his best so that the company may grow, so the company may do well, so that like a secretary. If she's sitting at the desk, if she greets everybody with a smile and makes them feel welcome, even though she's not getting the same pay as the CEO of the company, but she's helping the company grow, because when a client comes and he's greeted with a smile, so that is a good worker, you know. And so that is the attitude, that no matter whatever I am working at, I should do my best. Do it with passion, do it with enthusiasm, do it with, yes, with love. We don't have too much time to do the next verse, because the next verse is quite important. It, what Krishna says, so the next two or three verses, four verses, are what we have talked about. That no matter what job you're doing, if you do it sincerely, work hard, do it with the right attitude, and do it as a service to the Lord, and that is very important. My action should be dedicated to the Lord. I am working for Him, I am working for her, whatever mother goddess or whoever the God you worship. That Lord has created me, given me everything, all my abilities, and I am working. And so no matter what action you are doing, it can take you towards spiritual enlightenment. Even a person sweeping the streets could be a realized master, you know, if his attitude is that. So those are the next few verses. So we'll do it next week. We have a couple of minutes. Any other questions you may have? Yes.
You know, what is the role of just plain IQ in this? I mean, some people, you know, they're not going to be anything but.
Exactly.
I mean, they may aspire to be, might be a scientist or something. Or,
right, right.
But it's like, it just, they don't have a good memory. They can't remember things. They can't.
Right.
Things out.
Yeah. So her question is, if somebody doesn't have good IQ, doesn't have good memory, then yeah, he should do whatever job he is qualified for. If he tries to become a teacher in a school, he will be a total failure, you know. Or if he tries to start a business, you know. So he should do a job that is he's trained for. If his IQ is that much, work with that attitude, work, do his best, and then obtain enlightenment. If he's doing it as a service to the community, doing it as a dedication to the Lord, without ego, without I and my, whatever I have, oh Lord, thank you. At the end of the week, when he gets a pay, he shouldn't say, why did I get so much, and the other guy, no, this is what I deserve, thank you Lord. So that same work can become a prayer, or can become or he could be very angry. Why do I have to do this? Why didn't God give me more IQ? You know, I mean, again, there's a lot of things, you know, why we get what we want, why we get what we get what we deserve based on my past life, based on my karmas. Not everybody gets, you know, not everybody is an Einstein, you know. I mean, there are different qualities. Not everybody is a good in music, you know. Some people can sing, some people cannot sing. So they shouldn't try to sing, you know. You know, which many people do, you know, they don't have a... Yeah, I know.
Those are the ones who do the most. Right.
Sing the loudest. Right, right, right. Exactly. So, yes.
My question pertains to actually one of the lectures given by Swami Vishwaranandha a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And one of the comments he made was on trying to see oneness in all. And he actually elaborated on I am in all and all are in I or me.
Mm-hmm.
He actually gave examples of the clay pot of earth, or the ocean and the waves
right.
And the iron rod and the fire. But my clarity is still not that great when it comes to the I am all and all in me. So suppose all of us in the room. So he's saying, I am in all and all are in me. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, thank you. That's a good question. So what we say in Vedanta, that is Brahman. Brahman is the totality, the total consciousness. And everything is in Brahman. Everything, just as in, there's a big ocean. All the waves are in the ocean, waves and currents and whirlpools and froth and bubbles, everything is in the ocean, right? So Brahman is the totality. Brahman comes from the word big, Brahman means big in Sanskrit. So the big, the total, the consciousness is the totality. And everything is in that, and the entire universe, all the plants, all the planets, all the stars, all the space, everything is in Brahman. And Brahman is the origin of the whole universe, even all the gods and goddesses, whether it's Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, Saraswati, Lakshmi, Durga, Christ, all the prophets, the saints, everything emerged from that one Brahman. And the whole universe emerged from him. The examples they give is like a spider. Now, spider creates the web out of himself, right? And the spider himself becomes the web, from his saliva. So Brahman, who is the one who created this universe out of himself. So we are all emerged from that one Brahman. But there is an infinite variety. He created an infinite variety. There's a variety of stars and planets and then plants and birds and fish. There are thousands of flowers, variety of flowers, plants, birds. Humans, each one of us, she is separate from her, and everybody is so different, different race, different color, different temperament, different habits, different thinking, different language, different food, different dress, everything is so different. But a wise person says that there is one Brahman who is pervading everything. All are nothing but that one Brahman expressing in different names and forms. Even all the gods and goddesses are one, that is one. So a person who sees unity in that diversity, because actually everything is Brahman alone. There is nothing except him, nothing outside Brahman. It's not even him. Brahman is that. Actually in Sanskrit, Brahman is neutral. It's neither male nor female. Brahman is the substratum, the energy, the support of this whole universe and the origin of this whole universe. So the whole universe, when they all came from one, then I am in all, right? So, and all are in me. Brahman is all. So we are one.
So I'm not trying to be wise. I'm just trying to eliminate my clarity for myself.
Yes, yes.
So suppose there's a serial killer or somebody trying to do you harm.
Right.
So obviously he or the Lord is in him as well as
yes,
me, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I think knowing is understandable for me, but actually trying to
implement
or understand,
right,
it's much more difficult.
Yeah, see, if there is a serial killer, somebody coming with a gun into your house, right? So first, so we are not saying that you should open the door, welcome him and let him shoot. No, you have to protect your house, close the doors, protect your family, turn on the alarm, call the police and have him arrested. And when he's in court, you have to even go and testify that, Your Honor, he threatened me, threatened to kill me. So he needs to be put away in jail. So Brahman is in all, but you have to do what is right, but without hating that person. See, that's why Christ says, hate the sin, not the sinner. Because the sinner has Brahman in him, but he is misusing the quality, power given him by Brahman. It's like the gasoline. The gasoline is in the car. Now you take the car to a temple or a church, or you take it to a bar, or you take it to a house of prostitution. The gasoline is the same. The gasoline is not to be blamed. You drive the car, 55 miles an hour, or you drive 90 miles an hour and kill somebody. You cannot blame the gasoline. Oh, Your Honor, it was the gasoline in the car that killed the man. No. I misused the gasoline by doing the wrong thing. So Brahman is in every one of us, but we misuse the power to do the wrong thing, then that person deserves to be punished. That's why Krishna told Arjuna to fight the war, because these people are misusing the power. They are evil, they are corrupt, so they need to be stopped. So yes, Brahman is in all, but so that's why you don't hate the person, but you stop the person from doing the wrong thing if you can. Thank you. That's good.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm looking at the qualities of the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas and the Brahmins. Almost all of them are necessary for all of them, right? Like, for example, courage. If Kshatriya or a Shudra also should have the courage.
True.
So you really cannot, I'm getting confused.
No, but the courage means like a Brahman should not have courage to rule the country. He should have courage to be on the spiritual path. A Kshatriya should have courage to rule the country. A Vaishya should have courage to grow his company, and a Shudra should have courage to work hard. But their goal is different based on their IQ. Yeah, their goal. But yeah, they need to have courage. They need to have honesty.
Excellent.
They need to have truth and excellence and dexterity. And absolutely. But for a Kshatriya, this is more important, you know, to be a leader. A Shudra doesn't have to lead anybody. He just goes to work and works. But he should do his best because he's not there to run the company. Thank you.
Can I ask you something concerning what he said? So how do you look, you're saying to look at the sins and not the sinner. So how do you look beyond the person's sins? If someone is harming you, if someone is not good to you, how do you look beyond that and still respect him or her,
right,
even though they're sinning? But you can't really help them at the same time. It's difficult to help everybody who's sinning.
Right.
But how do you look beyond that and respect them despite his or her sins?
See, if you, first of all, if you don't hate the person, you have a positive attitude, automatically that person's attitude towards you will change, even though some person is harmful. Mm-hmm. If you are loving and you are compassionate and you understand that this person is acting because of the wrong understanding, then half the his anger will be diffused. And if the person still doesn't listen, then you ignore that person. You say, okay, I tried my best, Lord, but this person cannot be helped. But the Lord is still in him. And if he's doing good or bad things, if you hate him and get angry, then what happens is you're only burning yourself. You're burning yourself and getting yourself angry. And the person may not even know that you're angry at him. Or even if the person knows, you hurt yourself more than you hurt the other person. Buddha says, getting angry at some person and expecting him to improve is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. That's what Buddha said about anger. He said getting angry and expecting other person to improve is like drinking poison and expecting the other person. You are drinking poison, so you should not have anger in your heart. Ignore that person, stay away from that person and say, Lord, you are the one, you judge that person's action. Whether she's right or wrong or good or bad, that is his job. It's not my job. I'm not here to run the whole world. I'm here only for take care of myself and be the best I can be.
But the issue is the sinner, that Jesus said, hate the sin but not the sinner. But here, the whole purpose of Arjuna getting all this Gita teaching is to kill,
yes,
the sinners.
Right.
Then the sinner got killed, right?
Yeah, killed but not hate. Because there was no other way. They were not ready to listen. And in those days, people didn't surrender either, like Karna, till the last moment. Either you had to kill them. And the only way to remove them was to kill them. You could not settle. Actually, they tried to settle. They even asked for 5 villages, even though half the kingdom they deserved. And he said, I'm not even going to give you an inch of land. So, and then a dishonest person running the country. And the Kauravas were corrupt, they were dishonest, and if they had been running the country, the children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, the whole country would have fallen to disrepute. So the country had to be saved from these people. It's like Hitler. If Hitler was running the whole of Europe, what would be the condition of Europe? So it's the same thing. So he had to do it. With peace, they couldn't be. So ultimately, there was no other choice. That was the last resort.
And the same thing applies to the, in the case of serial killer.
Right. He has to be stopped. Yeah, he has to be shot or he has to be arrested or put in jail or whatever. Absolutely. You don't welcome him. You know, it's not a license to be just stupid. You know, it's a license to do the right thing. Yeah. Yeah. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Kashchit Dukha Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Yavana. Hari Om. Thank you.